your host, Jay Mont G.
And here we are down in Vintage, and we are on the fly, and it is the start of a beautiful AirVenture 2011. This is our first venue. Of course, On the Fly moves around the grounds, starting here in Vintage today. Tomorrow we head up to the IAC Pavilion, and that's a very new pavilion the last couple of years. And from there we'll go to Warbirds on Wednesday, and then we'll go down on the farm to the Ultralights Thursday. Friday we'll be over in the Light Sport Mall area. And then on Saturday, of course, as is traditional, we will be at the Seaplane Base. All at 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock every day on the fly. In Vintage, H.G. Frouchy is joining me, as well as Steve Krogh. And we're going to continue our conversation about what's happening in Vintage this year.
Hi, Jay. I haven't got a mic here right now, but...
Yeah, I think you're on.
Okay.
You should be. Go ahead.
Well, I'm getting feedback, but that's all right. Jay, we've got Steve Krogh from our Vintage Aircraft Association Board of Directors. He also happens to be our chairman of the Vintage Aircraft Association's Type Club Hangar. And Steve is also a very active Type Club user and the head of the Cub Club. He also publishes the Luscom Club and at least
Taylorcraft as well.
Taylorcraft, that was the other one. I'm sorry, I had a mental block there for just a moment. But Steve has been part of this long-range planning effort we've had on creating an even better home for the Type Clubs. And I'd really like Steve to talk about not only that new home, but also the importance of Type Clubs, why Type Clubs matter.
Very good, HG. Begin with, it goes back probably 15 to 20 years when it was determined that there was a lot of interest in particular types of airplanes, and the advent of the Type Club and the Type Club tent was initiated here, and it continued to grow over the years for many, many years back in here.
In the back,
that yellow and white tent. In the back, yeah, way in the back, where it was really hot and very uncomfortable for many years, but it served the purpose.
And it was also
very leaky.
It was leaky, and it was quite close to the porta potties too, wasn't it?
If the wind was out of the northeast, it was very aromatic in there all day. Yes, but thanks to some visionaries here within the Vintage Group and some sponsors that step forward, we were able to construct the Type Club hangar. And that was done, and we used it for the first time 3 years ago. And it has been a godsend for the Type Clubs, because we finally have an area that we've got some room to work in. We've got some light. We're not in the rain. We're not standing in 6 inches of water whenever it does rain. So, yes. This is our third year now, and we have, I believe it's 22 or 23 different Type Clubs represented in the building this year.
And that's impressive, because you started out with, what, two or three?
Started out with, two or three or four, and then it started to build five, six, and then it got up to about 12. And
The whole process started with Butch Joyce. Butch Joyce and Dobby Lichtig, who are directors, Butch is still a director emeritus, they started that because a couple of Type Clubs came to us and said, we don't really have any place here on the grounds that we can show people what we're all about. And that was the impetus for the Type Club tent. It grew very fast. I remember back in the mid-'80s, as a civilian, when I would come here for a convention just for my own entertainment, that tent was crammed full. You could hardly get a piece of paper in sideways in the tent.
Yeah, it caught on very well, and it really serves a purpose. It's in most cases, many cases at least, it's the only time in any given year where an owner of a particular type of airplane, let's say like a Luscom or a Taylorcraft or a Swift, can really sit down and talk with face to face with someone that really knows and understands those airplanes and can provide direction and technical support and point them in the direction of where to find certain things that they may need.
Well, you hit on something very key there, Steve, and that is that the Vintage airplanes are special in that many cases there's not a factory left to support the airplane. You've got all kinds of different things that you might need as an owner of a Cub or a Taylorcraft or a Luscom you know, and here's your resource. And here's a place where people can find out about it, gather, and go, oh, not only that, but they can walk through a type club tent and look at a variety of different types of airplanes and say, hey, that's a Funk. That's a pretty neat airplane. I think I want one of those, and I want to find out about one. Well, you can't typically just, you know, go to the local airport and find somebody who has a Funk and ask them a question about Funks.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. There are a lot of resources online nowadays, of course, and in the early days of type clubs, the only method of communication besides a phone call was an email newsletter, and those are still extraordinarily viable. That's just one of the best ways to still get information out to folks. But the online resources have also meant that those type clubs had a different way to reach out to folks. And in the same way that the Vintage Aircraft Association has a broader group of people who have that same interest, the type clubs kind of narrow it down. You know, EAA's vintage or type club is the Vintage Aircraft Association. And then within that, although they're not directly affiliated to the VAA, each one of the individual clubs has their specific interest, and you just can't beat a face-to-face chat with somebody at the Cub Club or at the Luscombe Club or the Oraka Aviators Association to look them in the eye and say, okay, what's the story on, and fill in the blank. And they can tell you. You know, those are the folks who really know.
Very true. Very true. And, you know, many of these airplanes that the type clubs represent, those airplanes, well, the manufacturer went out of business back in the 40s, you know, late 40s, early 50s in many cases, and there just isn't any other single source or any source for that matter for to find replacement parts or information on how to do something.
In many cases, the FAA now looks to those type clubs for the technical information that they need to help determine any kind of maintenance actions or anything like that. They go to the type clubs first. They come to us. They ask, who should we contact at a type club to talk about a particular issue? And they go to those type clubs. They view them as a very valuable resource in terms of understanding how an airplane is designed and why it does what it does. Whether or not there's a broader issue, or if, in fact, it's perhaps just isolated. You know, so often we see a particular AD will come out, and the assumption is made that they didn't do any homework on it, and that's generally not true. They usually at least come to us and ask our opinion. We may not agree with them all the time, but they at least ask.
That is quite true, Jeff. I would say, maybe a couple, three times a month, we'll get a call from an FA tech person in some FISDO office.
Not this week.
Not this week. No, they're all on furlough.
They're on
this
vacation.
Week.
Yeah.
But. When they do go back to work, they'll call and say, we've got an individual that wants to do this to an airplane. Are you aware of, has this ever been done to an airplane? We can't seem to find any information about that. And in many, many cases, yes, we have information. We have one, two, maybe three different copies of 337s that have been done addressing that very issue. In this day and age, the 337 that we send them won't necessarily get them over the hump and get it signed off. But if you can provide information where it has been done and done correctly and done safely in the past, it goes a long way toward getting approval on that same type of information today.
Well, and now the FAA has this new thing. Well, it's not so new now. In the last few years, the Aging Aircraft Initiative. I would imagine that the type clubs are fairly involved in that as well.
Very much so. Very much so. Yes. More so, I guess we've been paying really close attention, specifically it relates to the Cub, Luscombe, and Taylorcraft, is that Cub and Taylor Craft being tube and fabric, anything and everything on that can be replaced. Luscombe, on the other hand, is an aluminum airplane, and there is a finite life to aluminum-structured airplanes. So we're paying a lot of close attention to many different issues related to those types of airplanes and what we're running into today.
Well, the big one, dissimilar metals. You know, dissimilar metals are a huge problem.
Yeah.
And in the day, they never expected these airplanes to last this long. They built them after the war, say a Cessna 140 or a Luscombe. They never expected. Here we are in 2011, and we're still flying them like crazy.
You know. Those airplanes back then, when they were manufacturing them right at war's end, World War II's end, They were they had a life expectancy like automobiles did, 7 to 10 years, and then they would be scrapped. If Don Luscombe or Bill Piper today or C.G. Taylor today were here and saw that we're flying Cubs that are 74, soon to be 75 years old, I don't think Piper would last more than about a minute without a stroke over that.
Well, we're going to take a break in just a sec. Just one question before we go to the break. You just mentioned 75-year anniversary of the Cub. Are we going to celebrate that next year with the Cub Club?
Yes, we are. We're, we started making arrangements here about a month ago. Confirmed some of them here today. what we would like to do is have a gathering of Cubs and a mass arrival of Cubs like they do with Bonanzas. But I'm afraid that if we had more than 75 or 80 Cubs, we'd probably shut down Whitman Field for about half a day getting them all on the ground at one time.
What's wrong with that? We have people in high places. We can make that happen.
Works for me.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back, and we'll do more talking about vintage here on EA Radio. You are on the fly.